When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Okay, we are back for episode 47 of the Ricky Henderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts, the GOAP. I'm your host, Alex Espinoza. Glad to bring in my coworker, Kyle Madsen. We're actually in the same building, but in a different... We were going to do it in person, but it's too technical difficulty. So he's in his office. I'm like down the hall. What's
it's
up,
halfway
Kyle?
In person. I'm, you know, I'm sifting through the A's roster right now.
I know. It's so hilarious, right? You're like,
It's really rough.
I don't know. So... we were just talking about it over there. I think the biggest, let's just talk big picture before we, so this is a season preview episode. Everybody knows about all the trades that went on. Just to recap for everybody, if you missed it, within the past two or three weeks, first was Bassett, then it was Olsen, then Chapman, and then Manaea. They've all been traded. Frankie Montas, for now, is still the opening day starter. But we're sure. Just talking about pitching depth, right? It's going to be rough.
Yeah, I don't so real quick, just what you said there about the players they've traded and what they did this offseason. If you're going to trade Chris Bassett or you're going to trade Matt Olson or Matt Chapman, you would expect if you're moving Shamanaya, you would expect that if you're moving all those players in one offseason, you would have like a pretty awesome farm system at that point, right? Yeah. I'm looking at the MLB.com rankings right now. I just passed number 15 and the A's aren't on here yet.
I know. It's like they got a, I think honestly, the Olsen trade was pretty good. I think they got a really good return for Olsen. But other than that, I mean, it's a lot of dudes who are question marks or like a couple years away. I heard somebody make the argument like, hey, that's how they got Semien and Bassett in the first place. This was in 2015 when they traded for all those guys too. So, you know, it's just going to take a couple of years. We're going to see how it plays out. But yeah, it's not like they got any like super like major banger, like some like absolute stud, you know?
Right. There's nothing to be excited about.
Yeah. End of podcast. Like, that's it, guys. That's the end of the season preview podcast.
Yeah, they get fired up for A's baseball. I'm wearing a Jesus is my homeboy t-shirt that I bought because I love Jesus Lazardo. I love that dude.
Big Marlins guy.
Huge Marlins guy. he was pretty frustrating, obviously, because he wouldn't stop throwing fastballs down the middle for the A's, but I think he's going to be really, really good. And I've been able to tell myself for now, like, oh, the Starling Marte era was super worth it. Marte was awesome. It was super fun to watch that guy. And he helped the A's stay relevant for however long they were relevant last year. But I just think at some point Lizardo is going to figure it out and he's going to shove. And it's going to be like, of course they traded that guy.
I'm assuming you've been an A's fan your whole life or what?
Yeah. As long as I can remember.
Yeah, so you grew up out here. Where'd you grow up? And like, how long have you been going to the Coliseum for? All that good stuff.
I grew up in the East Bay. If you want to call it not the Bay Area, like I wouldn't argue with you, but I call it the Bay Area because it's easy. I grew up in Brentwood, so 45 minutes east of Oakland.
Yeah.
Man, I've been going to A's games since I was like 9 or 10, mm-hmm. I think was. I might have gone to one before that, but I don't really remember.
Yeah,
but the early Moneyball kind of run with Jason Isringhausen and the Big Three and Miguel Tejada and Eric Chavez, those are my earliest A's memories. So yeah, it's just been, you know, like every A's fan listening to this podcast, you know, the ups and downs, and you just kind of learned it. People are like, how do you do it? It's like, bro, I don't know. I was born into this.
Like, I have no choice.
Yeah, I don't. What do you want?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, when did you realize, like, oh God, they'll trade anybody? Or for me, it was, I think, 2004, they traded away like Hudson and Mulder at the same, like, I think it was within like 72 days. Hours of each other. I was like, oh my God, they'll just do anything. When did you realize, like, oh, the A's have no sacred cows or like, or what signing, like, did the Giambi signing irk you? Like, what, when did you realize, I guess, like, in that era, like, oh shit, the A's don't keep anybody, you know?
It was honestly, I'm so naive. I just would hold out hope that, like, at some point the cycle's going to stop. At some point, yeah, they're going to realize that to put butts in the seats at the Coliseum, A, they're going to need a new stadium, because so much of going to baseball games, especially, is the, like, ambiance, and being able to post on, like, Instagram and social media that, like, oh, hey, here's this cool thing I did. And the Coliseum is just not that, right?
Yeah.
But A, they're going to need a new stadium, but B, they're going to need to have players that people care about and they get attached to. Like, yeah, part of the reason the Giants have been able to stay popular, even in their post World Series runs, was A, they won, but B, like, Brandon Crawford's been around. They re-signed Tim Lincecum to this massive contract that he probably hadn't deserved, yeah, at that point, but he earned it.
Belt's been there forever. Yeah.
Belt, Crawford, you know, Posey was going to be around as long as he wanted to be around. So they committed to those franchise players, and I thought the A's were going to do that eventually. But when they traded Josh Donaldson, that's how long I hung in there.
Yeah.
When they traded Josh Donaldson, it was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Like, I get.
That was the one that shattered your.
It was what, 20?
I think 2014, 2015, or I think it was after 2014, and then he won MVP in 2015.
Right. Yeah, because he was playing third base for the wild card games. So yeah, it was like 24 game, when they traded him, yeah, and it was just like, oh, understood now. And I have a bunch of friends who are A's fans, and we were talking. This is a couple years ago, and it was like, all right, ballpark looks like it's moving the right direction. If they can't keep Olsen and Chapman, I'm out. And I'll never be out. Yeah. I'll never not be an A's fan. Like, people go, what do you do if they move to Vegas? Like, I'll probably still be an A's fan.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick up a new team.
Yeah. I still follow the Raiders. Yeah. I thought I was going to hate the Raiders, but I mean, who else? I still got to root for somebody on Sundays, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's the uniform's the same.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not from Oakland. I get it. If you are, like, from, born and raised, diehard Oakland, and you associate your A's fandom with the city, like, I'm not going to begrudge anybody if the A's leave that wants to punt. Like, dude, I'm in.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I can't quit the A's. Like, I'm not going to not be a fan. Mm-hmm. I love baseball too much. I love the A's too much. But Fisher makes it really, really hard to, like, I used to be, get me opening day tickets ASAP. I'm in there. I'm in the building. And this year it's like, hey, opening day's not at the calls. It's not until, like, April 18th.
Dude, I was thinking, they have a 10-game road trip. Like, what if they come back and they're, like, 2-8? It's like, that could totally happen. That could totally happen. Yeah.
It's Philly. Philly's going to be good if they can pitch. The Rays might win the AL East.
And the
Jays might win the AL East, the toughest division in the league. Yeah, so
it could be a really rough start. And they don't have pitching. And, like, the Phillies have a crazy lineup. Like, the A's have no.
Teams, yeah. All those teams rake. And yeah, the Blue Jays have a
ridiculous lineup. Yeah, I didn't even think,
zero people who can get someone out. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm, you know, and it's not even that. Like, I mean, you know, you sit through bad A's seasons. Like, it kind of comes with the territory. But it's not that they're going to be, I spoiler alert, I don't think they're going to be very good this year.
Yeah.
But it's not that. It's like what has ownership done? Because that's where my dollars are going, right?
Yeah.
What has ownership done to deserve my dollars? Like, they're going to get my time and attention and my emotions. Like, that's done. Like, that's,
yeah.
But my money, like, what have they done to earn that? And it's nothing. The answer is nothing.
Yeah.
So can I get free tickets somehow? Can I know the right person and get in for free for a game? Yeah, sure. But
yeah, how many games do you think you're going to go to this year? Or do you even know if, like, do you even have, like, a desire to, like, you know, maybe the Giants or maybe see A's Giants or something like that? Or, like, yeah. I don't know. Do you even feel like
set the over under? I'm good for, on average, like, on the average season, I'm good for probably like 6 to 8 a year.
Mm-hmm.
This year I'd set the number at like 4.5.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of see.
Yeah.
Because during the summer it's like, oh, hey, it's a Sunday and I have nothing to do, I'm just going to go bop out to the Coliseum and spend a day there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know at this point. Like John Heyman was on with myself and Mark Willard on our station 95.7.
Yeah.
And John Heyman said that the A's payroll is going to come in under what the A's are going to make from MLB's TV contract.
Yeah, that's absurd.
That's absurd. And that's just TV money.
Yeah.
That doesn't count any other revenue source they have. And so when you hear that, it's like they're not trying. The A's aren't trying to win. Like they're not.
No.
Look at the moves they made this offseason.
Fisher was like, hey, let you guys get Marte at the trade deadline and it didn't work out. And now I'm not going to try anymore. Right, you know?
Yeah. And that's what, so it's fine. Like, okay, they're not going to try. And the A's are far from the only team, like the Guardians, although they just paid Jose Ramirez, which is cool. Good for him. And good for their fans.
That's the thing. Like the A's never, even just like a one-off, the Chavez thing was before Fisher. That was 2004. And
yeah,
you know,
and so a buddy of mine's a Cardinals fan and they're playing the Pirates. And he sent to our group chat, he's like, man, the Pirates rival the A's in terms of just like random assholes. and I was like, you know, good point. Except they just this morning paid Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Yeah.
So like the A's have never done that.
Yeah.
They have 8-70, which is crazy underpaying. I think that's great value for him. But I've reached a point where I know that they aren't trying to win and Fisher's not trying to win. I know the front office is doing what they can. I'm not blaming the front office or the PR staff or the players or the coaching staff. Like I know they're all trying, but the owner doesn't give them the tools they need to compete. So it's like, that's why I watch, is because I want the team to compete. And if they're not even trying, what's the point?
And it just seems like they don't have any resources. Like they just don't put any resources into their own franchise. Like even they teamed with the Giants to do like a joint opening day ceremony yesterday. And like they brought Stomprod to San Francisco. It is, everybody's like, dude, Oakland is a whole city by itself. You know, it's like, you don't need to like, they think just sending Stomper somewhere is like, oh, let's just, that's it. That's all we have to do. You know, it's just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like there's no bobbleheads again this year. I think it's the second or third year in a row they've had no bobbleheads. I think I read it was them and one other franchise are the only franchises without bobbleheads this year. And then I read some interview with Dave Cavill. He was saying, he's like, oh, well, this part of this increase in prices, we can have more promotions. It's like fans shouldn't have to pay for their own promotion. That's what their promotions, you know?
If you're owning a team, and I would love, and maybe somebody's asked him this. I know the people who cover the A's do an awesome job, but I would love somebody just to point blank in an interview with John Fisher. I know he doesn't do a ton of interviews.
No, he doesn't do any. He doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't talk.
Right.
Dude. Yeah.
But I would love to be able to hear somebody ask him or somebody in the A's front office, like if Fisher doesn't want to win, like why is he owning a team?
Yeah.
Like what's the goal? Point?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, is this a money-making venture? Then like you're in the wrong thing. Like you're messing with people's livelihoods.
Yeah.
Like you're messing with these guys' careers.
Yeah.
I mean, you come to Oakland and if you become just totally irrelevant, you're killing people's earning potential and you're not allowing these guys like Sean Murphy's a really good player. And you're not going to allow him a chance to grow in this system, grow in this city, grow with these fans and get to the playoffs and maximize his earning potential as a young potential star at catcher.
Yeah.
Just one example.
Yeah. Or just like, I mean, I think it's maybe even hard for even big budget organizations to keep infield around like Semien, Chapman and Olsen, mm-hmm. but like, you know, like that's like a foundational, like you could like win some World Series. Like, I don't know. Those guys, that's like really, I don't know how you could do better than that. And they were all in the same infield together.
I get what you're saying because like
no effort
to keep like Semien's gotten cashed out. Matt Olson got cashed out. Like, I understand that like, you're not going to roll in with a payroll of like $500 million.
Yeah.
Like that's not, but the fact that they weren't even competitive for Marcus Semien, who wanted to play in Oakland.
Yeah.
It's and you so do bad. The 1 year, 10 million paid out over 10 years.
Yeah. It was like some deferred, like it was embarrassing, dude. It's embarrassing.
And that's the part that sucks. It's not like, man, they just, you know, they offered Matt Olson you know, $150 million, but the Braves just came in with two extra years and $40 million extra. And yeah.
I think it was the chat. Chapman supposedly they came with after his like best year of his career. I think it's 2018 or 2019. They came at him with like 10 years, 150. And then it was like earlier that year, Nolan Arenado signed for like 8 and 260, which is like, it was like literally it was like Arenado was making 32 a year and they wanted to offer Chapman 15 a year. And it's just like, dude,
it's
they
a Boris client.
Yeah, it's absurd. Like they're just,
It's just insulting. Like as a fan, and again, this is not a shot at the players or the coaching staff or anyone except the owner who doesn't allow them to spend any money. Like as a fan, it's getting increasingly difficult to be like, yes, this is what I'm going to spend my money on. And this is how I'm going to spend my summer is rooting for this team.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Well, let's get to the team, dude. Let's break it all down, dude. Let's do this, all these huge
30 Dalton Jeffrey starts.
Well, I just think it's funny that all the national baseball people like feel bad for, like, I don't know. It's like a storyline. I see John Boy tweeting about it. I'm like, okay, good. Like there's like enough attention on it now. I think people realize, like, you know, Rosenthal is talking about it, like everybody's talking about it. So at least there's attention on it, I think.
Yeah.
Good,
and it's gone beyond, because this is no longer like, oh, nobody goes to A's games. Like that's been the joke for years, right? But now people are starting to see, like, oh, no wonder nobody goes to A's games.
Yeah, there's no investment. It should be reciprocal. There should be like, okay, you invest and then we'll invest and then. It's just a one-way street. Yeah,
spend a little time in the red. I know he's a multi-billionaire, John Fisher. Like he's a multi-billionaire. He knows so much about making money that I don't know. But like, if it doesn't matter because he doesn't want to win. But I mean, if you're a diehard, which I mean, the A's have, and that's what sucks is like A's fans are unbelievable. The people who are there, but to grab the casual fan, like there are so many other things that they need to do that they're just unwilling to do.
That's what the Giants were so good at. They like just anybody who's like, oh, I don't even like baseball, but let's just go get some garlic fries and cheer on. Like, it's a good fun. Like that's what they need. That's how you make the money, is like those casual fans for sure. Yeah. But I don't think they're going to do that. But all right. Well, let's start off. I was going to start with the players, but how about Mark Kotze? I mean, you don't really interact with, nobody really interacts with the assistant coaches in baseball. You don't really know anything about them too much other than he seems kind of like a little serious and, you know, kind of like a hard ass or whatever. But I don't know. Do you feel like there's going to be a major departure between Kotze and Melvin, or I feel like it's pretty much going to be the same thing, right? I don't really know, honestly.
Yeah. I didn't always love how Bob Melvin handled his bullpen. So maybe Kotze will have a better feel there, but
yeah,
I mean, it's a first time manager. Who knows? Like, what does he do when they start 20 and 45?
Yeah.
How does he react to that? And I think that's what Bob Melvin was so good at is, and that's why he was stuck around for so long, was every player you spoke to would be like, Bo Mel's my favorite manager.
Yeah, people loved him. The players loved him. Yeah.
And they'd be up here, you know, 2012, 13, 14, well, then 15 and 16 and 17, and they're just not very good. And Bob Melvin just is Bob Melvin, and he keeps players at an even keel.
Yeah.
And he keeps
he was just a good communicator
entirely off the rails.
He was really good communicator and just like letting people know, like, yo, this is we're platooning, or like we're splitting, like, and he was a matchup guy, you know. So I feel like Kotze's gonna, like, almost out of necessity, he's gonna have to do that. There's like no every day. There's like no, I mean, who can play like literally 160 games this year? I don't know, dude. Like
not a lot of players. Like, I think Sean Murphy is like the only guy who's talented enough, but you're not gonna have your catcher going 160 games. So
I mean,
the thing with this A's team is if they're gonna maximize whatever the hell it is, they need a really good manager, like you just said. Like, matchups are going to be super important. Bullpen management is going to be super important. And you have a first-time manager trying to handle all that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I'm fascinated.
No, yeah, because I think I just remember him as a player. Like, I think he was pretty serious and stuff. So I feel like, how's it going to – like, you're right. When they go through a bad stretch, how is he going to handle that? So because right now it's easy. It's just like, you know, it's all optimistic, whatever. But – yeah, now it's going to be a little rough. But I think catcher is kind of a strong point for that. You got to have air. Everything is qualified with air quotes. But honestly, Sean Murphy, I think a lot of teams would be happy to have Sean Murphy. He was killing the ball this spring. They brought back Stephen Vogt. Then Austin Allen's going to open the – I think he's going to open on the roster while they have 28 players. But he's out of options. So, like, I think this is, like, a kind of like a month-long addition for him if he's, like, got to prove he's going to – he's worth it. But I don't know. What do you think about their catching?
I think Sean Murphy's really good. Yeah. And you probably noticed that by how often I bring him up. I think he's an excellent player. I'm trying to bring up his batted ball stats. Yeah, he's just, he hits the piss out of the ball, man.
No, I know. I love when he uncorks, he gets his whole body, like he torques and he's like a huge guy. And then he like can't even stay on balance. Like he just puts like, when he gets a hold of a ball, like a Murph bomb it's crazy, dude. Yeah.
I didn't love, last year he started swinging a lot more and drawing way fewer walks, which I don't love, but like, dude, go hit home runs and go mash. Like that's,
yeah, he hit a lot of doubles.
He's never going to hit 280. So
yeah, he hit a lot of doubles too. People are saying like, he's probably gonna get traded by the deadline or something. I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know. I don't even want to think about the deadline. Cause that's probably, think about it. They're going to be out of contention. And they're like, if they
saw he's a really good defensive catcher who hits the crap out of the ball. Like every team needs catching. Like if you can catch, you're going to stick around in the league.
Yeah.
And when you're a good catcher, he's a 27 year old catcher who rakes and is very good defensively. Like every team's going to want that at the deadline. Yeah. Every single contending team.
For sure.
So I imagine that's part of why Austin Allen will stick around, is because they're not going to,
that's very true too.
Murphy being on the roster beyond July.
Yeah, because I think, I know Vogt is technically a catcher, but I think he's honestly going to be playing a lot of first base, like in D. Like, I don't even, he can't even, like he hit like 195 last year, I think. So I don't even think you want him DHing, you know? It's like,
it's peak A's though.
Yeah, I know.
Rolling Stephen Vogt out as the DH
that'd be
is
great.
So peak. Like, hey, here's this guy.
Yeah, like we're putting him in because you guys like him. Like we don't even care about the production.
Here's a favorite. Bring him back. Yeah.
Hey, just cheer.
the wild thing is like Stephen Vogt, sneaky really nice 10-year career.
Yeah, dude.
After the whole All-Stars,
won a ring last year. I mean, yeah.
Shout out to him, man.
I think he's like basically like an assistant. I really think.
Next manager.
Him and Jed are just like, I think those were just like kind of like charity signings for like Fisher's like, all right, here's $2 million. Go get these guys and we'll make people happy.
I don't want to jump all over the diamond here, but I love Jed Lowrie.
Let's do it. Let's go to first base because I think Jed's going to be playing first base some this year. So let's go to, let's talk about Jed. Because he's a professional hitter, the consummate professional hitter or what?
Dude, yes. Like if it's hit right at him, he's going to field it and then he's going to step up to the plate and he's just going to rake either side of the plate. Doesn't matter who's pitching. You can just rely on Jed Lowrie to put together a really good at bat and he's going to hit the ball hard somewhere. And I love guys like that. I mean, he's not great. He's not going to be an all-star, but when you look up and down this lineup, it's like,
Jed he's like the best hitter on the team right now,
Best pure hitter on the team for sure.
For sure, yeah.
Like there's zero players who they're going to put in a lineup where I'm like, oh, that guy's better than Jed. Like no chance.
It's like
Jed Lowrie's great.
They're paying him like $850,000 a year. Like, all right, Jed, you're going to be our number three hitter now. Like they signed him like a week before the season started.
And honestly, like good for Jed. He's in year 40.
Yeah.
How long has he been in the league? So this is year 15 for him. So he's in year 15. He's 37. He's going to make close to $1 million to go have no pressure and like DH and play a little first base and just get some hacks in. He's living life. That's a great thing to do by age 37.
I think it's not bad. Yeah.
Shout out to Jed.
And I think also, I think Sheldon Noisy, I think I heard Kase say he's going to be part of the first base picture as well. I think it's going to be pretty hodgepodge. I mean, I don't know if, I don't know if they've even announced their final roster yet, but I don't know if Billy McKinney's going to make it, but he could factor in over there too. But I think what is going to be the biggest drop off that people don't really realize yet is the defense. Like Chapman and Olson were so freaking good, like so fucking good. Like,
yes,
just like, and Chapman was really good at just like routine I don't know. He made some ridiculous just plays, like maybe four or five, like, oh, that was a really good play, like every game. So
yeah.
And like Olsen was the scoop machine. Like, I don't know, dude. It's gonna be rough.
I was talking to somebody the other day about the Giants and how one of their difficulties is gonna be defensively because they're trying to platoon all these guys. And the person I was talking to goes, well, defense doesn't matter that much. And it's like, oh, but it definitely does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Like it for sure does. So when you're listing the things, I think that's a great point you made, is when you're listing the reasons the A's might lose like 95 games this year, it's because like, A, they're going to struggle to get people out on the mound. But if that's 1A, 1B is like when they do throw outs, or it's going to be even harder to throw outs because the range at first is going to be way down. The range at third is going to be way down.
Yeah.
The range at second, depending on who's
and
over
then
there.
Elvis Andrews is like 34. Like he can't really, I mean.
Elvis Andrews is their everyday shortstop in 2022.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll get to Elvis, but like, also, yeah, I think on days, like if Jed's out in second and Elvis is in short, like, oh man, just hit it up the middle and you'll probably get a single, you know?
Yeah. And I,
yeah, well, and then second base, Tony Kemp, I think honestly, it was funny. My friend, she works for Apple, and she was asking me, hey, I'm doing this A's campaign. Who should I put on? I was like, I don't know. I think who's like the face? I was like, I think Tony Kemp is honestly probably like the most marketable player they have right now. And it's just like, damn, dude. Like
MLB put out a graphic on Instagram.
Yeah.
It was like the AL West is gonna be tough. And then it's Ohtani, it's Jared Kelnick. It's Jose Altuve.
It's like Semien, yeah.
It's Marcus Semien, yeah. And then Tony Kemp.
Yeah,
like, man, Tony Kemp. And then I realized as I started looking down the roster, that's probably the right pick.
Yeah, I mean, who else are you gonna? I mean, I love Murph, but he's kind of boring, and he's like a catcher. It's like you know, Tony's like exciting, like you know, he's like very effervescent kind of guy. So. But and then you realize it's like, yeah, well, you gonna put on their Jed. I mean, it's like I think you got to put Tony Kemp on. He's like the face of the A's right now, which is hilarious.
He was a 2.7 WAR player last year, which is like, damn, shout out to Tony Kemp. He had a really nice year, but he was so good across the board, like career highs in everything. Yeah. He walked more than he struck out.
That's
like,
what's absurd to me. That's what's crazy to me, dude. Yeah.
He unbelievable, like great, really great year. And he popped a few home runs. It's like, all right, Tony Kemp.
Yeah. He had like homer in the Bronx that like won the game. And
dude, as I look at his Fangraphs page, when I was doing some digging for this pod, it's like, oh, this is just regression city.
Yeah, like, oh, that was, there's no way he does that again. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I think he said he figured out something with his swing, like he figured out how to use his body more, so that helped out. But I am encouraged by the walks. I think the walks to strikeouts is always is something that could translate. So I think that's good. But I also like it's just fun to, it's actually interesting. I thought he was, he makes a lot of eye-catching plays on defense, but then I was looking at the metrics and he actually is like I think on Fangraphs defensive metrics, he actually did not show up great. Like he had a really low zone rating and stuff like that. But I don't know. I thought he played a good second base just from what I saw. I thought he played a great second base. So
all he has to do is play a better second base than Jed Lowry.
Yeah. That's the standard. Yeah. And then we got a good old Elvis. Good old Elvis Andrews over at shortstop. What you expect? I mean, he's probably going to be like the number two hitter, I think, honestly, this year, which is funny. He should be a number nine hitter, but he'll be probably a two hitter.
I don't like what I, you ask what I'm expecting from Elvis Andrews. And it's just like nothing.
Yeah.
I got his numbers in front of me here.
Got some singles, maybe some singles, some.
There's nothing. He sub 300 defense on base last year.
Yeah.
A sub seven OPS. Like he's just not.
Yeah.
He's just not a good, he's an like, and I don't want this to be an like a,
a bashing session
talking about, you're right, because I don't hate Elvis Andrews. In fact, I like him very much.
Yeah, I think he's great for the clubhouse. Like he's like the OG now, but yeah,
but when if and this just, again, like you talk peak A's, like he is a 34-year-old, unserious, everyday shortstop. That's, he hasn't had a runs created plus over 100 since 2017.
Yeah.
And he's only done that twice in his career. It's not like he's this awesome player, but like, he's just not a good player anymore.
I know. And it was just, they did it. They literally did. I think so. That was the trade that they did for Chris Davis. And they got that was like a money play. Basically, they needed that because they got some extra cash from the Rangers and they used that to fill out their bullpen. So it was basically like, okay, we'll just take Elvis. But yeah, you look at his, I'm looking like his barrel percentage, bottom 4% in the league. His hard hit percentage is 21st, which honestly seems high because he
21st on the A's.
No, yeah, I know, right? But like he all he does is just hit singles, and it was just like, dude, if you got a double, it was like, wow, I might as well have been a homer. Like there's just nothing there. And then I just think it's also interesting if he I was looking on Spotrac, if he gets 550 plate appearances this year, his $15 million contract for next year like automatically guarantees. So it's like I'm like, the A's are just rooting for Nick Allen to like be like, okay, like they're just hoping like by June or July he's probably good to go, so they can call him up and
watch Elvis get a lot of days off.
Yeah, just randomly.
Like, they're gonna do everything they can to make sure he does not get to that 550 number. Like,
that's crazy. They don't have another. They don't even have anybody else. Until Nick Allen comes up, I don't know who else could play.
Chad Pinder will play there.
Yeah,
they'll throw Jed. Dude, give me the over on Jed Lowry innings at short.
Oh god, Sheldon Noisy will get in there.
Sheldon
thick boy,
dude. Why not?
Yeah.
I
think Noisy's gonna play some second base too. I think he's gonna get, like, I know he just looks like a big boy and second baseman are usually nimble, but I think Noisy's gonna get over there at second base too.
He came up as a second baseman, right? Am I misremembering that?
I think so. And then I think he's literally gonna play like all the positions, like, and then Elvis, yeah, I'm not really expecting much. But then, and then there's Kevin Smith, who actually had a pretty good spring, and I'm kind of intrigued by Kevin Smith. I wish he had a better baseball name. When your name's Kevin Smith, I feel like expectations are low. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. You're Kevin Smith. Like, oh, you know.
No, there's value in a good baseball name. The counterpoint to that is Sky Bolt. Sky Bolt is such very an elite true. Name.
Like, oh, this guy's going to be sick. This guy's going to be electrifying.
Yeah, he stinks.
Yeah, he's like a career 111 hitter or something like that. But
so bad.
But yeah, I think, yeah, third base is just going to be rough. I think Noisy and Smith can bring some potential power, but the defensive drop off is just going to be massive, and pitchers are going to be hurting because of it. And I think that's the biggest drop off, but I don't know. Smith looks like he's all right. He got some power. I think he had a few dingers. Let's see here. Yeah, he had some dingers over the spring. So, but yeah, he had three and led the team with 11 RBIs in the spring, 325. Not bad, Kevin Smith.
Look at him go. And I bet, you know what? I bet he plays some short as well.
So maybe he'll be like Kevin Kuzminoff, another third base Kevin. all right. Then the outfield. Of course, Ramon is suspended for the first 27 games, I believe. So he'll be coming back early May, but
probably immediately get traded.
Yeah, I mean, I think when he comes back, he'll hopefully. Yeah, they need him to do something. Like
honestly, okay, here's
he kind of faded last year. He was good, but then he kind of faded. Yeah,
oh, yeah, he got off the juice. But an outfield. This is a very serious outfield. If you have Seth Brown in left with Pache in center and Laureano in right,
yeah, that's good.
That's like defensively at least.
Yeah, defensively that's solid. Yeah, that's a really good
outfield.
Yeah, and that, I think the big knock on Pache is just he can't hit. You know, I think that's everybody says is let's see how did he do in let's see how he did in
he has none stick, dude.
Yeah, I mean he hit 222, three walks, 10 strikeouts over the thing. But I think, yeah, everybody, he just has no power. Like, he's a singles hitter. He's basically up here because of his defense, and that's great. But I don't know.
Save a lot of runs.
Yeah, it's like, that's the thing. It's like the A's aren't going to get anybody out or score any runs, and that's not a good formula to have. You know?
Yeah, that's what sucks is it's like, oh, Pache, like, great. But it's like, you can't even get excited about that.
Yeah.
Because he can't hit. It's not like, oh man, tons of upside, like, watch out. It's like, no, man, they got freaking center field Andrelton Simmons.
Yeah. Like, if he hits like 240 with like some doubles, that's like the ceiling, you know?
And oh my God, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, that'd be great, you know? But it's like, yeah, it's rough. I mean, I think he has the right attitude. He seems like he's kind of like, he has really high expectations of himself and all that stuff. And he's only 23. But also, it's like, you wonder if maybe in other organizations, he would still be AAA, kind of getting some grooming, but now they're just throwing him in. And,
yeah,
you know, what if he just can't figure out pitching and he just kind of messes up his whole career? I don't know. You know, like, it's like, the A's are just in a rough position. They just kind of have to put in whoever they have.
Right. Like, there's no alternative.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, is like, when you look at their AAA roster, it's not like, oh, hell yeah, but wait until this guy comes up. It's just kind of like,
yeah, like
Nick Allen, I guess.
Yeah. Nick Allen, but him too. I mean, it's like, oh, his defense is ready, but it's like, can you hit, you know? Even when he does, it's not like he's going to hit like if he ever hits double digit dingers in a year, that would be like amazing, you know? So well, also, I think from spring training, it looks like Pinder is going to be out in left field more. I think him and Brown are kind of going to be splitting time out there.
You know what else sucks about this team?
What else, Kyle?
A guy like Chad Pinder. All right. I am the leader of the Pinder Hive. I like Chad Pinder a lot. He's the A's like best to second best player at like five positions.
Yeah.
And I love players like that. He hits bombs when he gets a hold of it, but they're going to turn him into, I don't want to say they're going to turn him into a bad player, but they're going to make him seem like he's a bad or invaluable player.
Yeah.
Not valuable player, because they're going to play him way more than he should be playing.
Yeah.
It's like with the Warriors, like when they sit everybody and like Chris Chioza has to play like 20 minutes. And you're like, man, this guy sucks.
Cheese, wow. Cheese catching a stray. Wow.
But that's just it. And that's exactly what I'm getting at. Chris Chioza is an NBA player. Like, it's not his fault that the Warriors made him play 20 minutes that night. And it's like, oh, that's not his role. Like, yeah, that's a role he shouldn't be in. And that's, it feels like what the A's are going to do with Chad Pinder. Like, Chad Pinder shouldn't be getting like 600 plate appearances.
Yeah.
But it feels like he's gonna.
Yeah, he might. Yeah. I mean, because I don't know. And then also another thing, I think Stephen Piscotty is dealing with like some risk. But dude, that signing just really never, I mean, he never really, I think 2018 he had a decent year, but he's just been dealing with nagging injuries, it seems like, the whole past 3 years. And he hasn't, never really does, he's okay at defense, but it's not like fantastic. And
he's the most, he is, I'm glad he got to be home and with his mom.
That was the biggest thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is like, that obviously matters more than anything that happens on the baseball field, but talking about baseball specifically.
Yeah.
Like, he's a fourth outfielder.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what he is. And I think he'd be a really good fourth outfielder, but if you're trying to make him your everyday right fielder, you're going to have a problem. And then that's when he is healthy and can stay on the field. So
crazy. He's the highest paid player on the team right now. $7.6 million.
$7.6 is the highest paid player on the team.
He's making 23% of the payroll. That's so sad. Dude, they only have 6 guys making at least $1 million this year. That's absurd.
In 2022.
That's crazy.
Did you see that? Not to force Sean Heyman into this podcast again, but did you see that tweet from him about the A's payroll?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's the same as it was in 1991.
Yeah, 1991. They're like, yeah, they led the league in payroll, $33 million. And it's like 31 years later. Wow, it's
still $33 million.
Dude, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So Piscotty's making 7.6. Elvis is making 7 because they got some money. Frankie's making 5. Trevino's making 3. Pinder's making 2.7, and Kemp's making 2.2, and then that's it. And that's, everybody else is under a mil. That's absurd. Unless Jed and Larry hit some incentives, and then they'll get into the Millie Club. But
fingers crossed for that.
It is slim pickings, folks. And then there's, I think there's five players this year who are making more than the entire A's payroll. I mean, it's just, it's, they're not even playing the same game, you know?
Right.
And it's like Sky Bolt, like he honestly is a triple A. I don't know if he's a big league player, but he's probably going to break, you know, he's probably going to, he might even start, he might be in the opening day lineup. Who knows? You know, he might be in there. So
if Sky Bolt's in the opening day lineup, I will go to zero games.
All right. You hear that, Kotze? No, Kyle's attendance is online here. Oh God.
If I have to do God,
I'm already, it's so funny talking about this shit. Like there's a major league team.
The thing I hate the most is that we talk about this team and all the things it is, or rather is not.
Yeah.
And it's like, all I can think about is I'm going to be sitting there on July 26th. In the middle of the season, just tuning in 7:05. Here I am. You got me.
Lead it off. Sky Bolt. Turning it on.
Right, it's 9-0 after three. I'm turning it off. But boy, I was there at the start.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Isn't that hilarious,
dude?
Sports. I love it.
And call me a clown. Like it's just
self-loathing. I think A's fans are self-loathing.
That's it. Yeah. It's the only thing that makes sense.
Do we miss anybody? Is that, I mean, I think it's pretty much it. Seth,
you want to talk about the pitching staff?
I was thinking about the outfield. I mean, like, was everybody, I mean, I guess Seth Brown, I'm just looking, one walk, 15 strikeouts, not ideal in spring training. I mean, he's also very capable of going on some, like, that whatever the opposite of a heater is, he's very capable of doing that as well.
I have a fun game to play.
Yeah.
Let's decide who the A's All-Star is going to be this year.
Oh God. Is that still a thing? Is there still a requirement?
One rep per team.
I think it's gotta be Murphy, right? I think it's gotta be Murphy.
Tony Kemp.
Unless a pitcher, like unless Frankie or
right.
I don't even want to say it. No way. I mean, maybe Cole Irvin. I don't know. I can't even like bring myself to say it with a straight face.
So that's the thing, right? Like when you need a guy, just grab that team's best pitcher. We'll put him in the bullpen. If he pitches, he pitches. If not, if not. But who's gonna do that?
Hopefully Murphy has like 14 homers by then and hitting like 250, and or like 12 homers by then, just enough to check off enough boxes, you know. Oh God. All right, then the pitching, Frankie is still on the team as we record this on Thursday afternoon. It's like T minus 24 hours till the first pitch, I think. I honestly think I thought he was the one they would hold on to just because he's only making $5 million. And I think, honestly, I'm going to be just seeing how him, Bassett, and Manaea, I'm going to be kind of like comparing them the whole year. Because I think Montas might do better than them anyways. Just
he definitely has the best stuff.
And that's the thing.
Out of those three.
His game, he just has the best, yeah.
Yeah, he's too good. Like that, he's the A's best hope is that he just shoves. And then they can deal him at the deadline for maximum return.
Yeah.
I don't know how or if he's on the team past July.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after that, like who's their second best pitcher?
I think it's Irvin. I think it's honestly Cole Irvin.
Cole Irvin.
Yeah. I was expecting, it's too bad Caprillion's hurt because I'm expecting him to take a huge step up this year. I really liked what I saw out of him last year. I think he'll be a big boost when he's back. But when your top three pitchers are, you know, Frankie, Irvin, and James Caprillion, it's like there's still question marks, you know? I mean, it's rough. And then the Giants over here got like five established veterans. It's wild, right, man. It's like the A's just aren't even playing the same game. And then I think to round out the rotation, they're going to have Paul Blackburn, Dalton Jeffries, and Adam Aller, who was acquired in the Chris Bassett trade.
That's a player I've heard of.
So Aller's going to be making his big league debut.
So
he almost quit a couple of years ago, but he's glad he stuck with it.
Dude, have you looked at Adam Aller's numbers?
No, I haven't. All I heard was he's throwing 94, 95, but I got
there you go. Live with that. Live on that.
Well, what did he do? Let me go back and see what he did.
He's not been. I don't want to say he's not good because all these guys are professionals. They're good. He's not a productive professional pitcher.
Okay.
It's good. I think is the right way to say it.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it the worst rotation in baseball because the Orioles are not good either, but John Means is really good. They're opening day starter in Baltimore, but Montas is good in his own right. So that's kind of a wash, I think. I just don't know. Like when you in 2022, like teams are going to figure out how to score runs. Like they're going to figure out how to push runs across, but the A's have just enough guys that can hit some tanks that like, okay, they'll score here and there. I just don't know if you get a starter, let's say they do get Dalton Jeffries through five innings or Adam Aller through five innings.
Yeah.
Who do you feel good about in the sixth? Who do you feel good about in the seventh?
Yeah. I mean, literally, I don't think there's anybody in the bullpen you can trust. I mean, their top guy is Lou Trevino, and he's
very up and down.
Yeah, he's lights out. Other time, like most of the time, it's pretty uncertain. Like you just don't know what you're getting. You know, it's not like, oh, Trevino's coming in. Oh, this is gonna sew this up. Seven pitch inning, easy. It's like, oh shit, strap in. Trevino's coming in. And all roads lead to Lou Trevino this year, you know?
Are we finally going to get the experiment with AJ Puck as the closer though?
I think honestly that's his role. I heard Kotze was saying like he's trying to get Puck to think he's like the next Hader and Josh Hader that'd be great. He's lefty 98, but you know, some dude who throws 60 games a year and sub 2 ERA. I mean, that'd be awesome, but is that realistic? No, I don't think so. So, you know, if he can make 50 appearances this year, or 40 appearances, that'd be amazing.
Kirby Snead, Sam Maul, like this is not,
I mean, this isn't, yeah. I mean, I think Sam Maul's all right. He can throw like 94 or something. I don't know anything about Snead too much. He just came over and, I think he came over in the Olsen trade, but then also like their other right-handers are just a bunch of dudes, you know, Danny Jimenez,
they're a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just like, hey, auto-generate a pitching staff. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's like, you're making It's like, you're making a game or like in a video game. And it's like, oh, this is just like a creative player. Just like a made up name. Like, no, it's a real person. Dude.
It's a whole bullpen of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's who is let me try. It's like Lemonois. I really should have done more homework, but you know, the whole day job thing is no fun. But
I feel bad because I'm sure there's an A's fan listening to this, at least one who really wants to be like optimistic. But the problem is like, I don't know how to paint that. I don't even know what to say to paint that picture.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think like best case scenario is Dalton Jeffries just gets you 25 starts. Irvin is really, Frankie pitches a whole year. Cap comes back and is good. And then you get what you can from Aller and Blackburn to fill out that fifth spot and people stay healthy. But I mean, the ceiling is not too high. You know,
it just sucks, man.
Yeah. It's
like you see the Rangers doing everything they can to get competitive and
spend like $300 million on their middle infield. Yeah.
Right. And you see the Angels with Trout and Ohtani, and then they sign Syndergaard, and it's like, oh man, the Angels.
Even the Mariners are trying, dude. Even the Mariners are shelling out money.
Good, dude. I think the Mariners are going to be good.
Yeah.
And then there's just the A's, and then the Astros are, I think even though Correa left, like the Astros are going to be fine.
Yeah, they always figure it out. They're like the same team no matter what.
Player development is unreal.
Yeah.
The amount of guys they produce, the Astros, that are just big and hit nukes and throw a million is insane. Their player dev is out of control.
Yeah, they know what's up. I mean, so Man, I should have looked up. I'm sure they've announced the bullpen. I think it's pretty much set, but it's like Danny Jimenez. I know Jacob Lemoyne, Sam Moll, yeah, AJ Puck, Kirby Snead, Lou Trevino, Justin Grimm. I believe he made it on a minor league contract. Oh, and then great. Domingo Acevedo. So, and then Diolis Guerra's hurt and he's on the 60-day DL. And that's like him and Brent Honeywell are both on the 60-day DL. And honestly, like as much as Guerra, like I know he was. It's easy to groan when he comes in. He still eats innings, and that's the biggest thing. They don't have anybody who's going to eat innings. Like, he made, you know, I'm surprised they did not bring back Petit. I'm not even joking. I thought they would bring back Petit, but, you know.
Beaumel left, and yeah, they didn't have any use for Petit anymore.
Didn't have use for use.
I genuinely don't know. Like, this is clearly a roster that was made with finances in mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think once Melvin left, it was like, all right, that's it. They're cleaning shop. So, all right, let's wrap it up with a season win prediction, dude. What are you thinking? Over, under wins. How many? You think they'll get into the 70 win club? I'm going to put them right at 72. And I think that's even being optimistic. 72 and 90.
That's very optimistic.
I think it's pretty optimistic, but I'll put them at 72.
60. God, are they going to lose 100? I'll go 65 and 97.
Okay. So they'll stay out of the 100 loss club.
Barely.
Yeah. And I also think they're going to have a position. I wonder who's going to be the first position player to pitch.
I think Pinder. Pinder's got a hose.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that'd be great. I think the last time it was Jake Smolinski or something a couple of years ago. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the last position player they had. I don't know, but
Jake Smolinski.
That's a deep pull. Yeah.
I love that.
All right, man. Well, this was fun. Is anything else got to get off your chest? I mean, I know we did a lot of groveling, but
no, I've got nothing. I don't.
Hey, dude. Sky Bolt. So
freaking help me.
I hope I hope he's in the starting lineup just so I can text you.
God.
Hey, dude, check it out.
it's going to be Pache and center. I think it'll be Seth Brown and Wright. Although, who's pitching?
It's Philly.
Do we know?
I don't know. Honestly, I should have done more prep, but I've just been in Warriors Landia. I've just been pumping out Warriors content all this time, dude. I don't know.
Phillies, A's.
Athletics probables. Let's see here. Dude, baseball. There's been games today. I got to go see highlights.
Aaron Nola.
I think he's pretty good. I think he's supposed to be good. So.
Yeah, Aaron Nola is a good pitcher.
So he's a righty. So Seth Brown will probably be in there, yeah?
Yeah, so Seth Brown. So it'll be Seth Brown and Wright. It'll be Pache in center.
I think Pinder.
Yeah, probably Pinder
on the
left.
I don't know. You think Piscotty's on the bench? Yeah, I bet Piscotty might be on the bench, dude, honestly. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Highest paid player, baby.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Hey, Sky Bolt's definitely starting.
Yeah.
Against a righty?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Woo. Hey, dude, defense. He's a great defender. Laying out for those balls. Well, Kyle, there's only 162 games left, my friend.
It'll be over soon.
Hey, but seriously, hey, thank you very much, man. This was fun. I really appreciate it. And I'll be seeing you down the hall in 2 minutes.
Yeah, in person. All right.
Thanks, dude.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.